Hello, everyone. This is Jay Nemrell, and you're listening to The Life Autistic. Pardon me. This is episode 622. This is actually the second version of episode 6. Guy, can I speak today? What's the deal? This is the second version of episode 622. When I go into these episodes without having a clear idea of what I want to talk about, they can get a little weird, and I decided to get into my geek credentials, and honestly, I don't think most listeners to The Life Autistic really care about my geek credentials, and so I just kind of brought the thing to a crashing halt, and it is now one of the quasi-indefatigable Zenilith recordings. And you can always get to those by going to the Gopher Space at Gopher, well, at Quix, Quix.us, and then you'll see the little link to help you get to the Gopher if you have what it takes on your computer. As usual, I have to give the phone numbers, or the phone number, the email address, so that you can contact me, so I can come speak to you, come speak to your groups. I was pondering this morning something, and I'll share that with you after I give you the important information. The phone number is 1-575-461-2716. I'm just now getting around to actually putting up podcasts, putting up episodes in the podcast that are actually have the phone number on it. I am somewhat behind. I just barely put up episode 612, and this is 622, so that means I'm about 10 behind. And I'm trying to just do it kind of piecemeal, once a day or once every other day. I want to be able to, you know, put up another podcast, because I used to do it in big gulps, you know. You would get maybe 5 or 6 at a shot all of a sudden, and that's kind of bad for a podcast, I think, for the simple reason that people expect that the one that just got downloaded is the only new one there is, you know, because people only do it once a day, you know, they only have one new podcast a day, or one new podcast a week, or some other kind of schedule like that, and I don't, you know, mine's really bursty. I like to do maybe 4 or 5 each trip I'm out, and and that makes it tough, so I'm trying to kind of smooth it out on the backside. Not the recording of it. I record whenever I get a chance to record when I'm traveling. But I'll post them up when it, you know, one or two every day or so. So that it kind of gets that same feel to it. So there's the phone number, 1-575-461-2716. So I can come and speak to your group. You can pay me to come. I'm looking for new funding streams. I may be looking for a new, do I dare call it a career? Do I dare call anything I do a career? Because I don't tend to do it for very long. Anyway, whatever it ends up being, we're giving it a shot. If you would prefer to make your first contact be via email, the address is autism, AUTISM, at quix.us. The gas prices are getting high, just in case you weren't watching. This is, of course, an effect of the falling dollar. The fact that the dollars you have in your bank or in your hand or in your wallet are actually losing value as we speak. Amazing, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful? Aren't you glad to hear that? I hope you aren't blaming other things for the fact that gas prices are going up. I hope you're not blaming some poor guys over in... they're not poor guys. Some guys over in some Arabian country wanting to invade and take all their oil. That won't solve the problem, particularly. That will make some people very rich, but it's not going to be you. You know, it's not going to bring down your gas price at all. It's all about the value of your money. It has nothing to do with the price of oil. The price of oil has stayed remarkably steady against other things that have intrinsic value, like gold, for instance. Gold, the prices of gold are very high. And that isn't because gold all of a sudden has become more valuable. It hasn't. Gold's value remains somewhat constant, as does oil. Oil remains somewhat constant, too. But that doesn't matter. The whole point of saying that the prices of gas are going up is a prelude to what I've been thinking. Now, when I come out to speak to you, when you invite me, I don't want you, you know, I know that the high price of oil that gets translated into things like car, you know, how many miles your car can go on a tank of gas, you know, how much a plane ticket costs, how much it's going to cost you extra just to get me to where you can hear what I'm saying. I know that can be a detriment to this. So, I stayed in the motel last night in Taos, and I've been pondering, and it was just this morning, just before I got in the shower, while I was in my shower, and afterwards, pondering how I could make the situation a little bit better. Because I do want to make, you know, I don't want there to be any impediments, you know. I would much rather you spent the money on paying me rather than paying some oil company or paying some airline for all this stuff. I was thinking about a cart with a little burro on it. Our family likes a movie that's got kind of a, I don't think it's a horse, I think it's a mule, and a cart in it. It's called, come on, Jay. It's called Stardust. It is a kick-butt movie. It's just a fun romp of a movie. We don't have very many of those much anymore. And, are they witches? I don't know what they are. They'd certainly cast spells, they'd certainly play with magical things in the country called Stormhold, which is across the wall from England. Kind of a magical place that nobody's supposed to go to. Nothing's supposed to pass in between the two places. There's a guy that guards it, little old man, and sometimes he can be a pretty mean person. If you haven't watched the movie, of course, this doesn't make any sense. And I go out and watch just for the simple reason that it's good family fare and there's not much bad in it at all. In fact, I don't foresee there being anything bad. Of course, you could say, oh, people are dying. But good golly, you know, if you're not copacetic with the fact that people die, I don't know what to tell you. If you're trying to shield your children from death, golly, I think that's yet another thing that says, you know, you're not preparing your child for reality. You know, they need to know about these kind of things. Anyway, one of the characters in the story, I've never read the book, I just watched the movie. I don't have time to read very often. And it's hard to know what's good anymore because people say, oh, this is wonderful. It's laden with sex and all kinds of disgusting stuff that I really don't want to read about. And so I tend to discount almost everybody who says something is really that great. And I tend to go for the movies because the movies actually have a rating system. And the rating system, you know, if it's a PG-13, they will tell you underneath the rating, I usually wait until it comes down to video because I'm cheap. I've got a big family. Taking my family to the movies would put me in the poorhouse in 5 seconds. underneath that rating, it actually tells you what it's for. If it's for sexuality, if it's for violence, action violence. I'm not, you know, action violence doesn't bother me particularly. It probably should, but it doesn't. I'm much more worried about sexuality, you know, full frontal nudity, stuff like that. And that rating, and that little statement down below the rating will typically tell you that, you know, there's a scene of nudity, you know, there's this and there's that. Give you a reason why something got the rating it got. But there was this character in there that had a horse in the cart, and she actually slept in the cart. It was a pretty nice little thing on the back end, kind of like what you would consider to be a camper, the thing that you strap on to the bed of a truck and go out with. You know, it's got, you know, and the campers have beds in it. Well, this could never work for a family of my size. But, you know, I was pondering it and saying, could I do that? Could I just make the rounds, for instance, and do this stuff? I don't know. Anyway, because I was thinking about the old itinerant preachers, what are some of the other things? You know, the circuit, you know, the preacher that would be on a circuit, or the judge who would go on a circuit and he'd go from place to place. I don't know how they handled that situation. I think they stayed in the houses of people. And it brings to mind some things that we had thought about before, living in yurts, things like that. And I think to myself, if I had, with my job where I go from place to place, if I didn't try to keep up a household somewhere, if that wasn't necessary, and I think at this point it kind of is because I've got small children and they need to have some stability in their lives, at least a little, and that, you know, I cover several offices, and it would be good to be able to just to go and stay there for a couple of weeks, set up camp, take care of all their needs, because, you know, when I don't have calls that drive me away from someplace, I go to the office and I work out of my office. The way, the system I have now where I have, you know, I pretty much have wireless internet wherever I want to be because of my cell phone. I can pretty much connect with, remote into people's computers wherever I am. Now this kind of circumstance would allow me to I could go to some place, like say to Clovis, and I could stay there for 2 weeks. You know, we'd set up our yurt, we'd set up our little camp, maybe in somebody's field, I don't know. You know, my kids could run around crazy and have a good time. It'd be difficult because my second daughter needs to go to school at house, and for her high school, that makes it tricky because we would have to transport her somehow. Anyway, so this gives us a kind of very interesting way of being, because you can always just, you know, unpack and have your nice house, and then you'd repack, and then you'd go on to the next place. Kind of be a nomad. You know, when you think about a yurt, and you think about the Mongolians, and how they would kind of move around according to where the herd needed to go, so they didn't have a big impact on a place. They would graze that, and they'd move and graze somewhere else. But they were kind of like that too, kind of like the Bedouins, you know. Moving from place to place. What an interesting idea. Could that work out for a person like me? In some ways, yes. In a few other ways, no. just because I don't think we're willing to go into that quite to the depth that we could. Now, there could be some benefits to this. And this is something I used to talk about quite a bit in my other recordings, Quasi Indefatigable Zenilith. And I bring it up here just because it's interesting. And to give you an idea of just what all the possibilities are. In the United States, we have all kinds of people, and most people, since most of us live in houses and we have neighborhoods and we all have cars and things like that, we tend to think that that's the way everybody is, and that anybody who doesn't meet that is nothing or illegal or destined to go to jail or to some kind of a shelter. And that's not true. There are several groups of people, you know, and I don't mean to talk about, like, say, gypsies, for instance, although there are some gypsies in the United States. There aren't a lot of them. It's certainly something that hasn't been encouraged, and they're usually asked to pass on because they do have a reputation for being lawless, somewhat lawless, and not being respectful of local culture. But there's a wonderful, I don't know if it's wonderful. There are other classes of people that get that get special breaks, that have certain things that they can take advantage of that aren't available to other people. They're called migrants. They're usually called migrant workers, and they usually work in agriculture. They tend to follow the harvest. They tend to work from one part of the country to another. I know about this because it's a very prominent way in my part of the country to get a lot of heavy work done, that you only need heavy work sometimes a year. Most of the year you don't need to do a whole lot. You know, while you're waiting for your crops to grow, you can spray them with chemicals to help keep down weeds or to help fertilize the soil. You know, you can do stuff like that, but that doesn't require a lot of people. But when it comes time for planting, or it comes time for harvesting, times like that, or it comes time for calving season, or taking the cows to market, you all of a sudden need an influx of a whole lot more. Oh, my ears hurt. I'm coming out of high places to low places and my ears hurt. You need a lot more people quick. And the way that gets handled, and it's mostly a cultural thing. I don't think it's really been encouraged. It just kind of grew up over time. Was that you would get migrant farm workers. Workers that move from place to place following planting or following where harvesting is going on. You know, and they have certain places they always go to, and they always have work. And, you know, they live out of their cars, stuff like that. And there are special programs to help migrants. You know, there's special laws. Schools have to be really accommodating of migrants, make sure that the parents can take their school records wherever they go to next, and the kids can go to school, even though they might go to 20 or 30 schools during a season. Kids are constantly moving around. Schools have to, you know, schools are required by law to deal with that. So if you can get yourself defined as a migrant worker, it's got a few benefits. I don't know if the benefits outweigh just the tricky parts of being a migrant. But, you know, I don't know what the definition ends up being, except people that move around a lot. And you don't have to suffer to do that. It doesn't require you to live in cars, I don't think. I think it just means that your address changes quite often. Or you just move around with your work. You know, there's tax breaks for doing that. There's certain things that you can do. And I haven't explored this in a long time because, you know, I'm not... You know, I know that my wife, Lisa, does not want to be a migrant. She is a nesting person. She likes to nest. Although I think if I could get a good enough circumstance that we could move her with, you know, nice circumstance, with nice accoutrements as we go along, you may have seen some of these Bedouin tents where you go, they've got some nice stuff. And it goes wherever they go. They pack it up and they take it with them. You tend to get stuff that travels easy and is durable and travels well, but it's also compact. It folds up, and you go. Yurts answer that pretty good, because you can get a pretty good sized yurt, and you know, you can have a pretty opulent one too if you wish. Usually a lot cheaper than a house would be if you want an opulent house. And yet, you can pack it up and take it with you. It may take you a day or so to get it set up, but that's part of the fun of having this kind of thing. Plus, you get to see new places, talk to new and interesting people. Now, I was thinking of how I could combine that, because I have a large territory to cover. I could make circumstances where I could travel from place to place, set up there, stay there for several weeks, because it really doesn't matter where I am inside my territory. You know, if an emergency comes, I make the trip to wherever I need to go. As kind of this itinerant worker, I was thinking about, well, that's an interesting thing to think about. Not that I'm going to do it, but it might be a decent suggestion for you. Because it's with you. It's kind of a takeoff of being an RV-type person, living and working out of an RV because you have to travel and all the things that you want to accomplish are far apart. It's akin to that, but not, you know. I don't think they give any tax breaks to RV dwellers, because that's a certain class of people that don't get taxed. They usually get taxed more heavily. So, but migrant workers don't, you know. I guess if you live out of a tent or out of your car as opposed to an RV, then you have a different, you know, you're classified differently. And why not take advantage of it while you have a chance? Go for it, you know. I don't know if I can. I wouldn't mind the lifestyle myself, and I thought it would be an interesting thing, you know, to almost make it almost an itinerant preacher type of thing, to set up circumstances that when you come to town, it can be almost like, I don't know if it would be like a carnival coming to town, but, you know, for some entertainment. You come in and Jay comes and talks to you about families and about things like that, and tries to do it in a way that, the way that I always do it, which I hope is entertaining, and then, you know, people can come and can attend and pay some money, just like they do to an itinerant preacher to keep him going, and there it is, kind of a secular version of an itinerant preacher. Kind of a revivalist sort of person that travels around that way. I don't know how that would work. I don't know how, you know, I don't know. But it's intriguing. Interesting idea. Almost from the past in kind of a strange way to give you something different to do in some of these small towns. Which I service quite a few small towns. I don't know if I'd call it a revival, though, because then people would think that they were going to get something else. I guess I'm somewhat of a religious thing. I try to avoid the term religious applied to me. Although, you know, just changing the way it's said, all of a sudden it becomes kind of a religious thing, makes everybody, I'm sure that kind of says, why don't you just come out and say you're a preacher? Okay, fine, I'm preaching today. That really makes you happy. I'll do it. Okay, oh, hallelujah, and all that good. Well, I'm not going to do all that because I'm not that kind of a guy. Well, yeah, I'm trying to preach a better way, I think. Or I try to. And hopefully be a little entertaining, too. That's what preachers do, too. You know, so maybe it is. Okay, well, I'll just let that go. So I was thinking about all that stuff, trying in some way to make it so that it could be a little cheaper for you guys. When we get a speaker to come to a place like Tucumcari, for instance, the call goes out everywhere. You know, somebody like, say, the schools pays for this person to come. And then all of a sudden, he's there for 2 days, he or she is there for 2 days, and they've got them going everywhere. They go out to all the schools, and they go to assemblies and talk about what they were going to talk about. They have a big meeting at an evening or something, and maybe somebody will try to do a fundraising dinner alongside of it. It all of a sudden becomes this huge event. You know, I don't think personally I'm that kind of a draw myself, but maybe I could be at some point in the future. I'm certainly not that kind of a draw now. I'm not very well known. You know, all I am is this guy who has a podcast. Although I do have, you know, I do have other things that I do. Just to be interesting. So anyway, that might be an interesting idea. You might want to turn me into some kind of an event. Of course, if you do, that, you know, all the better. It doesn't bother me, you know. I guess I get paid a daily rate, and if you worked me hard that day, you know, you can get 10 hours of me. And then you kind of have to let me have my breathing room, you know. I am an introverted person. I know people think that's odd because I talk so much. And because I go and speak to groups, you know. That's not a very introverted thing to do. They go, well, you know, there's bigger things to be attended to here than Jay's little parochial living. But I do need my recharge time. And so I can't, like, you know, well, we're going to bring in Jay, and we're going to have you work 24 hours a day for 2 days, running around, we'll drive you all over the countryside, so you can do that. And you go, you know what, I really need my personal time sometimes. You know, you guys are going to have to pay me extra if you're going to work me that hard. Well, because I'm going to have to take some time off after that just to recharge, pull myself back together again, take care of whatever problem I have, whether it's jet lag or whether it's, you know, saddle sores, because I'm coming to you on horseback. I don't know. Although I think it would really kind of be an interesting spectacle to have these wagons come to town and set up shop and have people, you know, have people come to something, you know, come to a parking lot, for instance. You know, there's plenty of old parking lots, especially in my part of the world, connected to somewhat abandoned discount stores that have been forced out of business by Walmart or something. You know, and set up shop there. You know, with the carts. Hello! And then you go on to the next town. It might take you a couple of weeks to get there because, you know, you're going with horses or mules or whatever else you have that you can move along with. That's okay, you know. You usually don't have things to do every 5 or 6, you know, every 2 or 3 days. You're not jetting to 6 places, you know, a week. That usually doesn't happen. You might have one venue a week, and then you have the travel time to get to the next venue. You know, the next place where you're going to set up. And of course, you can always set up the next place and say, "Well, we're taking money to keep us going." You could call that begging, but I call it, you know, But that's what public speakers are going to do. You know, there is a certain amount of something analogous to begging about it. Except that people are contacting you to come instead of you just coming and then hoping to get some money. So, anyway, interesting. You know, I the more I think about it, the more interesting it sounds. Just as kind of being almost kind of an event. And what do you do with that event? You know, you call ahead when you're coming through a little town, and you say, we're coming, and if you want us to, we'll set up and we'll do, you know, we intend to stay the night. Do you want us to come and come a little bit quicker so that we can be there, so we can have an evening thing to give to you, you know? And of course, we're going to be asking for donations as we go to help you, you know, to help defray our costs between the big, you know, between the big shindig times that we do stuff. I'm sorry. So, it's just an interesting guy. Should I start doing it on horseback just to be kind of an interesting spectacle coming through town? You know, if I'm going to do hexayurts, I've talked about hexayurts in the past, you know, why not make a spectacle? Why not make a road show out of it? You want us to talk about this and that and show people some of the things that can happen and what they're going to have to face, maybe, someday, if things fall apart, which they seem very capable of doing? Getting ready for things to happen? Anyway, that's kind of all I had for this particular podcast. This is one of the ones where it's just kind of off the top of my head without much else going on. This is episode, this is the second edition of the episode, 622. This is Jay Nemro. If you want to contact me, if you want me to come to your town and come speak, and you guys can, you know, you guys can say, Jay, we want to get this many days of your time. I think there's a one-day minimum. You're going to have to overnight me one night because, you know, I don't want to be on the freaking red eye too much. You're going to have to overnight me and then send me home, however you want to do that. Make sure I'm compensated for my time. And I will, I'll be glad to do that. The phone number to contact me to be able to make this possible, we'll see what kind of interesting roadshow I can come up with. Depending on what you want me to talk about and the neat things you want me to talk about, is my phone number is 1-575-461-2716. You'll get an answering machine. We don't often pick up our phone to answer a phone call because, you know, I don't have caller ID. I don't know who it is. And I wouldn't know your name even if I did. So make sure and leave enough information that we can get back to you and tell us what you're after. Because if you just say, hi, my name is Bill, call me back, and you throw a phone number at me, I'm not going to call you back because I don't know who you are or what you want. You're going to have to let me know what you want. You know, you're going to have to leave a message. We're not just going to call you back just because you've got a name. Everybody's got a name. You need to give me a better reason to call you back. If you'd rather have the first contact be through email, someday we're going to have to call because I have to have some kind of an assurance that you're a real person, not some kind of email bot. The email address is autism, AUTISM, at quix, QUIX.US. Wonderful time to be alive, I think. Not because there's so many fantastic opportunities, but there really are quite a few. You know, some things are being closed off, but other opportunities are opening up that haven't been heavily regulated yet. And there's so many interesting ways to, you know, make a living, to spend time with your family, to be a part of something. And this sounds pretty interesting to me. And be an interesting opportunity to be able to be a part of something like this. And hopefully it'll I just don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. You know? I'm used to the motif of, you know, there's a conference, you come to the conference, you speak at the conference, you might have a couple of breakout sessions. You're paid for your speech, you're paid for your breakout sessions. They pay, you know, they pay for your plane ticket to get there, they make sure you have a motel room, and they feed you, usually at the conference food, which is always interesting. And and then they stick you on a plane, they send you home. And that's it. That's what constitutes the living. And I think it'd be interesting to give a shot at one of these other possibilities. Doing kind of a road trip sort of a thing. Setting up several different venues that you could go and do all kinds of interesting things. I think that might be kind of cool and interesting. I need to teach the kids to sing or something. And then they already do sing, but we're really radically, nastily off key. I don't think it'd be entertaining. I think it would be kind of, oh, it hurts. But to talk about what touches the heart, what's really important, and what we all need to be concentrating on, I think that's a really great message, and I think it's a message that resounds with a lot of people, and that might do good in the kind of setting where it's like, you know, they're in our back 40, you can see them all set up and doing what they do, and here they are, you know, and they're going to be here for a while, because the way they move, it may take a while to get to the next venue. Anyway, so, you know, it's a possibility. You might give it a shot. Plus, I could use some exercise. If I decide to do it with bikes or something along those lines, I think that might work pretty good, just for the simple reason that, you know, I could use the exercise. This is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This has been episode number 622. If you want me to come and visit you and talk to you, I'd be glad to. To whatever group it tends to be, if you can help us with whatever we need, it would be a pleasure for us to come and talk to you. This is Jay Nemro, episode 622. Let me make sure I got my mouse thing here. Have a great day.